chapter number 3. Appreciate you coming this way tonight. Appreciate what I felt in my heart already. Daniel, chapter number 3. Bible said in verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fire furnace. Then were bound in their coats and their hosen, their hats and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste, spake, said to his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Thank you for standing tonight. Our Father, I come and I ask you, Lord, that you'd help us now in this teaching hour tonight. I pray, God, you'd help to encourage the hearts of your people. God, I need encouraging tonight. Lord, I want to thank you as folks have stood. I want to thank you, Lord, for how you've spared us in that awful storm this week. Thank you for the house we have tonight. We can come and worship you and praise you. God, read your word tonight. I pray for these teachers now, these children. God, you'd help them, be with them. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you tonight for praying for us. I want to preach on this thought, faith in the fire. Faith in the fire. Brother Lee said something when he stood tonight, went right along with this message. He said, God, I want to thank you for what I got left, but God, what if you had took it all? I was reading over in the book of Peter, and he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Have you ever been walking along sort of minding your own business, and all of a sudden a fiery trial just absolutely fell out of heaven right into your lap? And you sit there and you look around, now where'd this come from? I mean, it's a little different when you know somebody's fixing to punch you and you can brace for it and you can squinch and you can brace and it don't hurt near as bad. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when you're looking off the other way and somebody blindsides you and knocks you right square in the jaw and your feet comes out from under you. The Bible said, think it not strange concerning the fire trial. I've heard of people go through trials and automatically somebody say, well, what'd you do to deserve that? Maybe we should say, why does God love you enough to let that happen to you? Amen. Think it not strange. One of many times you've seen something happen to people and you say, well, I wonder what they've done to deserve that. You're stupid. Well, I'm going to live for God and raise my children right. Good. Wonderful. Need to. But honey, you mark this down. Fire trials is coming where me and you live. It is a Bible principle that God uses trials to test and to purify His children. Tonight, these Hebrew men, we love to call them children. I can't find no place where they're children. They're certainly grown, a lot more grown up than you and I. And they have some principles in their lives that I want to share with you tonight on faith in the fire. I want to talk about three principles in this passage tonight. I want to share with you, first of all, where they lived, who they loved, and what they learned. Very important in our culture and our life tonight. We think Daniel 3 is just a scripture that's come up that everybody knows about. The Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was all taught it in Sunday school. And we think it's these principles of somebody living in the Middle East in a faraway country. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it's in Bowdoin, Georgia. It's exactly where me and you work, live, and play in the hour that we live. First of all, note tonight where these Hebrew young'uns lived, where they lived. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 3, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my goodness, I'm glad my name isn't that hard to spell. My three letters was hard enough to learn. I don't know if I'd have made that all the way through the 12th grade if I could have spelt that or not. But I notice it says the king, and it's in little caps for a reason. There's only one that deserves to have the big cap, and he is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords tonight. Now, where they lived. I want to tell you in verse number 1, you'll notice they were in a wicked province. He said, the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, Babylon tonight represents the empire of Satan. Satan is the ruler of this universe. I realize God is in control tonight. But friend, the Bible speaks of the rulers and the powers of the darkness of this old world. And certainly Satan has an agenda in the day and hour that me and you live. And so we are very close to Babylon tonight. What is Babylon? Oh, it is the world system that you and I are so familiar with in our dealings and in our workings and our living. But where they lived, it was a wicked province. Now, we see something here that takes place of just how wicked it was. The Bible mentions a number. He said there was an image of gold. His height was 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof was 6. Well, we've got 2 sixes mentioned there. We've got the 60 is a 6. And then we've got, there's another, there's 6 cubits. And look right on down there to verse number 5, and you'll find out that if we'll count right, there's the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, there's another 6. So there we have a picture of 3 numbers. 6, 6, and 6. Now, we see that he set a great image up in the plain for in this great wicked providence that people would fall down and worship. Can I tell you there's coming a time when Satan is going to put something up in Revelation 13 that people will bow down and worship that. In Revelation chapter number 13, I want to show you this number of the beast that correlates out of Daniel chapter number 3. There the Bible says this in verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Or 666. Boy, when that number comes up, I run from it. I don't have nothing to do with 666. If my phone number was 666, I'd be changing it. I don't want nothing to do with 666. The Bible said in verse number 14, he said, and he deceiveth them, who? The Antichrist, that dwells on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we see that Satan has been setting up images
long before you and I ever come along. He would love to have an image tonight that you would bow down and pay homage to. Certainly, He is in the idol building business. Can I tell you tonight, anything that stands between you and me and our God is an idol. God is not pleased with idols tonight. People, they have a job that becomes their everything. That 40's not enough, they want 20 more. Gets them out of the house of God, gets them in trouble. It becomes an idol. And I'm going to tell you, I know people's got to work. I've had to. But honey, a lot of times people's looking for more of an excuse to get out of coming to the house of God than hunting and a good excuse to get to the house of God. The best advice I can give you tonight, honey, you come this way to get yourself in and not get out. If you'll come to get in, you'll enjoy the service. You'll enjoy the glory of God. You ought to come to get in and not come to get out. People hunt excuses and we do whatever we want to do. I'm going to write a book one of these days on Baptist excuses. I can write a good book on Baptist excuses. Most of them start with children. Well, our child's sick. What you going to do when God takes that excuse from you? It takes 4 grown-ups to keep one little young'un. Don't look at the floor tonight. It ain't time to pray yet. Amen. We do what we want to do. And so we all full of flimsy excuses. We have excuses why we don't read our Bible, why we don't use our altar, why we don't do things that God wants us to do. I tell you why. Because idols stand in our way. The devil's in the idol business, where they lived. Wicked province. This old world is wicked, buddy. Man, it is some kind of wicked society that we live in. And then verse 2, where they live, not only wicked province, but worldly people. Verse 2, the Bible said, He called all the bigwigs together. He brought the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image. He's throwing a little party and he's invited the who's who of the town. And so we see where they live. Not only do they have a wicked province, but they had worldly people. Have you ever seen so many worldly people? It's amazing to me how 100,000 people gather around an oval track at a racetrack and set out in the blazing hot sun or pouring rain, and they won't darken the doors to the house of God. Boy, we got our priorities right, ain't we? We got them together, ain't we? We'll be sure Johnny makes the ball game, but we could care less about the house of God. And you know something? So many people's going to be so confused when they get to heaven. They're going to say, man, we taught our young'uns how to do this and how to do that, and they died and went to hell. Boy, we better wake up tonight. Our society's on a downhill slide, and you better be grabbing your family, getting them in the house of God under preaching tonight. I'm telling you, honey, it is some kind of something out of the doors of these churches. And I'm going to tell you, most of that ain't what bothers me so much. It's what's in the churches. What's in our church. Sin's still sin, people. Sin's still sin. Your house, my house, your kids, my kids. Sin is still sin tonight. Where they lived. They lived in a wicked province and they lived around worldly people. And verse number 4, they lived with wimpy preaching. The Bible said, then a herald cried. I bet he said, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. A herald cried aloud, to you is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and the harp. He said, I want you to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. That's about all the sense that the average preacher's got in leadership in our Baptist churches tonight. Most don't even know how to tell people what to worship or how to worship. They're just a little herald, a little paid-off feller, and a little paid-off woman. Lord, used to, that couldn't even come up in the preaching. Amen. And so Let me tell you something, friend. Where they live, preaching was not priority. They wanted some music and go to worshiping. Let me tell you something. Without preaching tonight, you're not going to have much worshiping. A lot of people will fill the house on Sunday night singing. Amen. We book the Blackwood Boys or the Achy Break Your Heart crowd, honey. They'll get every parking spot in the on the facility tonight. You say, preacher, you chapped, ain't you? I'm tore up. I'm tore up. You got a tore up preacher tonight. You know why I'm tore up? Because we sat down, we smiling at things that ain't right with God. We think we fine. We think we've arrived. And we're a long way from getting to where they was tonight. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I heard tonight a man advertising, well, a drama for their kids. Kids don't need drama. Kids need preaching. Mom and daddies need preaching. We don't need drama. We need preaching. What in the world has drama got to helping people grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus? The church was never intended to be an entertainment center. Or a drama club. No preaching where they lived. You know yourself, it ain't a lot of preaching going on today. I know it's some preaching going on. But you know yourself. And most places had preaching. Lord, they'd fly like a covey of quail. We need preaching back in our country. Where they lived. Wicked province, worldly people, and wimpy preaching. Well, I'm offended at preaching. Well, I hope you do get offended. Hope you got both feet in the aisle so I can step all over your feet and climb up into your heart and slap you right upside your jaws. Well, I just want somebody to make me feel good and be positive. You got a bad attitude, preacher. Because I preach to people with bad attitudes. Amen. Wimpy preaching. And then they found themselves where they live, where they worshiped pagans. In verse 5, he said, I want you to fall down and worship an image. I'm glad I ain't got to worship an image or a has-been tonight. I've got a God that's real and alive and a God that's on the throne. And I ain't got to worship a Buddha or a pot-bellied pig, honey. I got the God of the Bible, the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham that died on the cross that loves us tonight. I'm glad I've got that God I can worship tonight. They worship pagans. All kind of people. It's all kind of pagan worship. What are you talking about? The golf courses are full on Sunday. Worship is a set of golf clubs. A bass boat. A deer stand. A clearance sale. A yard sale. All kind of excuses. You know what it is? It's pagan worship. Mother's Day. Praise God, it's a Mother's Day. Well, the oldest mother and the youngest mother and the one with so many young'uns. And so let's just take all the thunder out of Jesus and let's put all the mamas on a pedestal. It's Mother's Day. Memorial Day. Let me go and get that while I'm about half-cocked tonight. Amen. It wouldn't be so bad. I'd go to grave decorating days if it was on Saturday. But folks ought not take the time out of the house of God to go in and resurrect the dead. Honey, we got a God that's alive tonight. It's amazing to me. They won't have it on Saturday. They want to decorate mom, grandma, going on. Glory to God, do it on Saturday. But the Lord's Day's the Lord's Day. He said, there'd be no other gods before me. So we up singing about old Aunt Sally. And Lord, we're trying to get a tear jerked out of somebody ain't cried in about 54 years. I'm telling the truth. We get our heart right with God. We get godly tears tonight. I never seen such hogwash in this day in all my life. So many ignorant people, and most of them's Baptist. They eat up with ignorance. Honey, let me tell you something. And now I want to refrain that. Let me retract that. Rewind. They eat up with stupid. You can help ignorance. Honey, you can't. You can help ignorance. You can't help stupid. Never seen so many stupid people. Stupid people. Everybody wants to get married here. Nobody wants to go to church here. Two phone calls this week. We was driving by y'all's church. And it's such a pretty church. And we know you ain't got nothing to do but babysit us all day Friday night and Saturday night. We bring our little heathen hellions down there and tear your building down. And so we know you're available all day Saturday. You can sit up here and babysit this whole crowd. And then you can clean the church up and do the best you can Sunday morning. Ain't going to work, Jack. I'm tired of answering the emails and the phone calls. I said, honey, no, you can't, but you're welcome to come to church here. Oh, well, we go over yonder. Well, what's your preacher's name? I'm glad a little youngin' knows who his preacher is tonight. Thank God. Him at 3 years old knows more than ignorant 40-year-olds know. They don't even know what their preacher's name is. They ought to get the game warden to do it. Or the marshal out there at Oak Mountain rides around the golf cart, got Marshall on his shirt. Let them marry him and bury him. I'm just telling you right. This world's goofy. Goofy. I'm talking about tonight where they lived. They worshiped pagan. Well, I don't like you, preacher. Get you another church in. Go get you Aunt Sally. She'll preach to you. Stay home, watch that boy in Texas. He'll tell you about how the power of the mind can translate you through your storm. Sitting up there smiling, eating salt briars, thinking the whole time. Exactly right. And his wife acts like she stepped in something, got out of the car. Son, I've had a belly full. I'm telling you tonight, this world's crazy. Where they lived. They worshiped pagans. Big idol. Fall down and worship it. Not only where they lived, but who they loved. I like this. So listen, boys, if you don't fall down and worship this, so you're headed to the furnace. And by the way, it's a burning furnace. It's fiery. And so the Bible said in verse 7, at that time when all the people heard the sound of all these instruments and the language, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set. Can you imagine when the Beach Boys started to play? And all of a sudden, son, they fell down like a bunch of stack of dominoes. And there was three old independent Baptist boys standing around saying, "This crowd's crazy. This crowd's crazy." Meshach, you ever seen? Yeah, I seen something like it at a grave decorating day one day. Shadrach said, "I ain't never seen nothing like it." And so they's just standing out. I mean, everybody else is down. They looking around. Let's talk about tonight who they love. The Bible said in verse number 8, "Then wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever.' He said, 'Thou, O king, ain't you made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of these instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image? And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace?' He said in verse 12, 'There are certain Jews whom you set over the fires of the province,
They Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, these men, O king, they've not regarded what you said. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you set up, whom they love. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 12 through 14, the challenge they faced. He said, there are certain Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province. I'm going to tell you something. They was in high positions. They was over some things. They was large and in charge. And I'm going to tell you something. The challenges that they face is the same challenges that we face tonight. Are we going to bow down to idols of the day, or are we going to stay with what's worked? That's all I want to know. Are we going to do what's right? Are we going to go with the flow of the day and serve these idols? The challenge they faced. And then verse 15, notice the compromise they fought. Verse 15, kings give them a little time to think about it now. So he says, now listen, boys. He said, I want to know in verse 14, is it true? I just really want to know, are y'all that crazy? Is it true? He said, boys, I've been good to you. I've set you up over the fires. What's your problem? Look, why don't you get with the program? Anybody ever told you that? Preacher, I wish you'd get with the program. Preacher, I wish you'd get in our box. You're so unorthodox. I mean, it wouldn't hurt you just to do a few things. Well, I've always heard if the building goes to leaning, it will fall. And so I want you to notice tonight this thing of the challenge that they were faced, but the compromise that they fought. He said, now listen. He said in verse 16, he said, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of all these instruments and all kinds of music. I know they was at a Baptist meeting. Yep. So you fall down and worship the image which I've made. And well, if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fire furnace. And by the way, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Now the compromise they fought. They could have said, I better not let my religion interfere with my politics. I think a lot of our big politicians have said that. Now, we better not let our religion interfere with our political. Amen. I love that old Baptist preacher's running. I can't even call his name now, but he would tell them what he believed. This other crowd, you don't know if they're a pig or a possum. You ain't got no idea what they are. They could have said, I better not let my religion interfere with my politics. And then they could have said this, well, everyone else is doing it. When in Babylon, just do as the Babylonians do. Now, you got a choice. The compromise they fought. It's easy to compromise. I mean, cop out. Everybody else is doing it. We ain't going to have no youth if we don't get in all this social and drama and hoorah teams and praise. And we're not going to have nobody. Well, I can tell you somebody will have. He said, where two or three gathered together, he'd be in the midst. If he ain't here, we're coming no how. The compromise they fought. And then they could have said this. Nobody else is looking. You know, something on compromise, what bothers me. If nobody else is watching, this is what bothers me. I got to live with it. And it's not true when the devil says nobody's watching, because somebody's always watching. You know, I found out you are who you are when you're by yourself. It's easy to compromise. Compromise, they fall. You know something? I fight compromise every week of my life. You wouldn't believe how many preachers got me wrote off. That's what I'm preaching tonight. Well, let the youth take the church over. Man, it's all right. You know, it's a new day. How are we going to reach youth? Dad, we're going to reach them preaching. What reached you? What got you down here at this church? You could hear a little old teaching grandma's story, tear-jerking tales everywhere you went.
I'd say we need to stay with preaching. I know the crowd builds if you have singings. We're not hunting crowd. We hunting faithful Christians that win people to Jesus. Serve God when the lights are off. You are who you are when you're by yourself. Boy, this compromise that they fought, they could have said, well, nobody else is looking. And there's an old saying, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. I've heard that. Then I've heard this, isn't it better to be a live coward than a dead hero?
Yep. Amen.
No, not in my book it ain't. I'm the old school and I can't help it. It's all I know. It's preaching, praising, praying. It's the only thing I know what works. David, the giant killer, they told him, said, David, put these on. They work better. Said, put on Saul's armor, David. That you got's out of date, boy. You crazy. He said, ain't a fooling with it, ain't. Ain't proved it. I won't stay with the stuff. I want to see your babies fall under Holy Ghost conviction and give their life to God. And God move in and they live for God all their lives. What I want to see. I don't want to see a fly by night. Everything's gravy and wonderful. When hard times hit, they throw their hands up and say, what in the world do we do? Preach it. Preach it. Tonight, isn't it better just to go with the crowd and not ruffle the feathers, to compromise they fought? And then, verse 17, not only do you see the challenge they faced and the compromise they fought, but look at the confidence that they found. Verse number 17. First of all, he said in 16, he said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, there's no hesitation. They didn't have to have a huddle or a pack. They didn't have to say, now, what are we going to say now? What are we going to do now? Aren't you glad that you know some people that know what to do when the pressure's on? Just stay with what's worked. You don't need a new Bible. We need to practice the one God wrote and give to us. We don't need new songs. We don't need a new songbook, Brother Tim. We need people singing the ones we got. The confidence they found. They said, verse 17, read our lips. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not. Boy, that's some kind of statement. But if not. You know something? I've never wondered, could God, but I've wondered a lot, will God? There's never been a time, folks, I've ever said, can God? Never. But nearly every day I say, will God? I dug something out this evening in study. He's talking about the confidence they found. He said, listen, we may burn. We won't bow, we won't bend, and we won't budge. We ain't budging. We may burn, we ain't moving. Job 13:15, he said something. Brings up what Brother Lee said tonight. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. We just want to serve Him for what He gives us. What if He ain't giving you nothing? What you going to do then?
Easy to serve God when the checkbook is checking. What you going to do when your bills run out of checkbook? What you going to do when your marriage runs out of manual? Well, they said it was in here how I could get through this with her. No, it ain't in the book. Well, won't y'all write that book? I won't buy that book. Matter, if you'll write that book, I'll put it on the shelf with my book on Baptist excuses. I bet your book outsell my book. I mean, everybody tell you, well, let's go get you one of them manuals. He's in there, she's in there. They ain't done it. So, I want to ask you a question. This, but if not, well, a man has to live. No. Man's got to die. It's better to die for a conviction than it is to live by compromise. I want to say that again. From the looks of you, some of you may not be back Sunday. So I better get you while you're here tonight. Because you look stupid to get up and walk out on me preaching tonight. Now, we can help ignorance. You can't help stupid. It's better to die for conviction than it is to live by compromise. Now, watch this. This is what I really like tonight. The greatest faith in the world is this, but if not. Verse 18, but if not, the confidence they found. You got that kind of confidence. Well, Tim, you cut us on a little air, please. It's getting hot in here on this faith in the fire. Have you got that kind of confidence, really? But if not, I'm here for the long haul. If my young'un goes out there to the cemetery, Lord, I'm going with you. Lord, if I lose everything I got, I'm with you. I found this evening on one of the old writers said the greatest faith in the world is this, the but if not faith. It's one thing to have faith to escape the furnace, but it's another thing to have faith to endure it. Faith is not getting from God what you want. Faith is accepting from God what He gives.
Yep. Amen.
Can I say that again so maybe you can write that down and chew on it tonight or in the morning? Faith is not getting from God what you want. But faith is accepting from God what He gives. Moses would not compromise. He had great confidence in Hebrews 11:24. Hebrews 11:24. What a Bible character, Moses. Hebrews 11:23 said, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Remember? It'd been commanded all the male babies be killed. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I want to tell young people tonight, sin's fun, but it's a season. It's fun, you just go and sow them wild oats, and it's going to cost you something. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect and the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. The confidence they found. The greatest faith in the world is the but if not faith. Now I want to read a little something to you. It made a lot of sense to me tonight. Copied it down. I want you to listen to it. You see in verse 17 over there in Daniel 3, it says, if it be so. Then you see in verse 18, but if not, listen what the old writer said. God's able to deliver from my weariness and pain. He will deliver swiftly if it be for lasting gain. But if not, my heart shall sing, trusting wholly in my King. God is able to supply me with abundance from His store and will supply my table with His blessings more and more. But if not, my heart shall rest in the thought that He knows best. God is able to defend me from my foes who throng around. He will defend me surely when their rage and their hate abound. But if not, I'll bless His name and confess Him just the same. God is able to deliver me from all my fears within. He will both save and keep me in His fold, safely gathered in. But if not, He'll hold my hand, teaching me to soon understand. Tonight, where they live, who they love, but lastly, what they learned. What did they learn? Four quick things tonight, I'll be done. What they learned going through the fire. First of all, verse 24, you'll see when you go through the fire, there's people you will fascinate. The Bible said in verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Has anybody been astonished at you going through the fire of how you acted? Isn't it amazing the way that you can astonish your enemies by just staying with the stuff? You want to astonish your enemies? Stay with the stuff. Don't run with the crowd. Stay with what's worked. Do what's right. Follow God. Love Him. Trust Him. There's a payday someday. And so we see here tonight of what they learn. A people you will fascinate. People are watching you going through the fire and they're seeing how you're going to accept and how you're going to adapt. There was a man called me tonight. I've been in a fire for now some good while. Longer than I want to talk about. Probably one of the most severe trials I've had since I've been saved. And a man told me on the phone tonight, he said, what'd you just say? I said, to God be the glory. If it's God's will, He works it out. He'll work it out. Amen. Yep. He said these words, a lost man, sir, I've never heard a man say that before. I said, the Bible said in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm telling you what these men learned going through these fiery trials. There's people you will fascinate. There's people watching you. Cannot believe that you can walk under this kind of pressure. The storm Brother Joe's had, a lot of people has asked me, how's Brother Joe doing? This is simply what I've said, a lot better than what I'd be doing. People you will fascinate. Secondly, going through a fire, you'll notice there's a principle that you will find. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats. They was all bound up in their other garments. That's cast in the midst. And verse 25, now you see them loose. Not only people you'll fascinate, but there's a principle you will find. It burned off what bound them. They came out unbound and unburned. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You go in that fire, He's going to burn some stuff off you've been holding you back to getting into where He's at. Going to burn it off of you. You know what? You're going to figure out that everything really don't matter, but just what does matter. Can I ask you tonight, with you right now, as your pastor fixing to leave tonight, can I ask you this question before we go on? What really matters to you? Is a career really matter? Does a big retirement really matter? What about faith in the right person? Family in the right place? Friends in the right people? And finish with the right peace. I think that's what really matters tonight. We got each other, Brother Randall. A little Jehovah Witness girl over yonder. Monday night, they didn't know she'd live or not. Got saved by the grace of God. You know what really matters? Faith in the right person. Her mama and daddy coming there lost as a bald highway, Jehovah Witness crowd. Knows nothing about God. Talked ugly right in my face. Told me things I didn't want to hear. But let me tell you something, honey. There's a payday coming someday. And I may lose everything I got. But I got something in me this old world can't get, Miss Fry. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a better man tonight. Because I've walked through the fire and I've lost some things. But I'll tell you one thing he's doing. Leads me to point number three. People you'll fascinate. A principle you'll find. You'll be unbound and unburned. And a person you'll face. Verse 25, the Bible said, he said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the mist, have no hurt in the form. He said, then we put three in there. You want to find God, get in a situation. I love what Spurgeon said, buddy. I like to run out of my study this evening when I seen what this old man of God had to say about this gold tried in the fire. This is what he said. He said, the refiner talk about this fourth man. Are you ready? Now talk about me and you. Talk about this fourth man. The Lord Jesus. He said, when you throw down in there in the furnace, he said, the refiner is never out of the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire. So if it's somebody else's gold, he wouldn't worry about it. He knows how much heat you can stand tonight. He knows how much heat his little old preacher can stand tonight. You know what he's doing? He's burning all this junk out of me. And he's getting me ready for glory land world. Man, something. If heaven was heaven down here, we never would want to leave here.
Amen.
Man, we talk about going to heaven. I said, why would I want to go to heaven? I'm leaving heaven here. And I ain't got to worry about a car crash or house fire or head-on cliff. I ain't got to worry about none of that, man. I got to have them here. Ain't going to be that way. And it ain't what the Jehovah Witness says either. It ain't hell on earth neither. There's a hell yonder in the heart of this place. What they learn, preacher? They learn there's a people you'll fascinate, a principle you'll find. There's a person you'll face. Some think he came in this world to get us out of trouble. But he came in this world to get into trouble with us.
Yep.
Verse 30, and there's a promotion you'll feel. You know what he done? What's amazing? Boy, it looked bad, no doubt, when them oven doors flew up. And it's 10 minutes till 9. But in verse 30, the Bible said, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There's a promotion you're going to fit. Ain't it amazing when God allows things to happen, he don't do it to hurt us. He does it to help us.
Amen.
Some of you have been through things and you've graduated. And now others are going through them. You can say, just come on through. God was faithful with me, God will be faithful with you. I'd be a foolish man to ask you, had God ever disappointed you? Sure He has.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said, why? But I don't think I have anybody to tell me tonight that He wasn't in there with them. Miss Julie? Come. I don't know what you're going through tonight. But I want to tell you where they live. You be careful. Don't you get in this old world's mold. It'll mold you into something God never intended me and you to be. And everything that glitters ain't gold tonight. You say, preacher, I ain't got the family. You got this family. You got more than what you know. Till you get around and go to counting what you got. You think money could buy that little grandbaby I got sitting up yonder tonight? You think there's a salary that I'd take to not pastor this church? You think it's a number out there someplace that I'd go for to leave this flock? You think, is that long, big? It ain't a number that long out there. Me. I'm staying with what's worked. And I'll be the first to say it ain't easy. But it is rewarding. And I know it ain't for everybody, but it's for me. I don't want to be whining tonight. I just want to thank Him for what I got. I want to thank Him. I got a place I can preach. I ain't got a campaign, politic for places to go preach. God's given me a good place to preach. But Tim, God's given me people to tote me water. God's give you brother and sisters to help you. To love you. Take your young'uns, you get down and out and can't see about them. He's got people that will raise them for you. What they learned. You'll never know how big your God is till hard times hit. A lot of you couldn't tell nobody out there in that world how good your God is tonight unless fires had come and He's took you right through every one of them. Oh, it come and it probably left you short of a few things, but He promoted you in places you could have never got unless that fire come. You can't worship without a trial. Some of you scare me to death. And I tell you why you scare me, because I love you. You just stare off, no worship in you. God's fixing to knock it out of you. God's fixing to get you fixed so you appreciate Him and love Him and serve Him. No matter what, you better get dedicated, because it's hard enough to serve Him being dedicated when hard times come. You better get ready. Our church has had more persecution happen in the last year. Since I've walked out of my job last August, this church has experienced more hard times, more heartaches, but more blessings. It ain't all bad. It ain't all doom and gloom. Honey, there's still a few saints around here love God, love preaching, want to see their young'uns get saved, see the old drunk get saved out there that nobody else loves. I know I've been long tonight. I didn't get to preach Sunday. But I've shared my heart with you, and that's all I know to do.